You may not know me, you may not remember me because it's been so long, but we are happy to be here tonight. We're going to talk, as Brother Ben mentioned, from John chapter 4. Do we have any visitors here this evening? Any visitors at all? I'm not going to come over and make you say anything. Any visitors at all? Yes, ma'am, you're waving at me. How you doing? You said that you weren't going to make me say anything. Then you. Well, it's good to have you here. Hopefully, we'll be a blessing to not only our visitors and our guests, but all of us who are here as we discuss this topic. As you can see, in case you didn't know, our theme for the year is the master's class, right? Lessons from the Lord. I don't know how you could miss that, right? But that's our, and now this is a part of the summer series for 2019. I've been asked to talk about goals, and that's what I'm gonna be talking about tonight. And I don't stay behind the podium. I tend to walk, right? And I may even ask you a question or two. So don't get too excited about that. So we're going to talk about goals as it relates to perfect purposes for life. From John chapter 4, where Jesus says, my meat is to do what? The will of my Father. Y'all going to talk to me tonight? Y'all scared? All right, let's get started. So Jesus says in John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish what?
His work.
Okay, see, y'all said that real fast, but I want you to slow down. To finish what?
His work.
There you go, his work. That's going to be real important as we go into this lesson. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I want you to have that in your head as we move forward, okay? So before we get into what Jesus talked about in John chapter 4, when you hear goals, what do you think? What comes to mind when you hear goals? Let me help you a little bit. Plans, objectives, right? To-do lists. How many of you have ever made goals, set goals? Anybody? Yeah? Good. All the time. Okay, good. Keep that thought. Okay, so what do you make goals for, right? Your career. How many of you made goals for your career? Anybody? Okay. How about travel and destination? Anybody in here like to travel? Ooh, I love to travel. In fact, I'm getting on the road Friday, heading to Vegas. See, now y'all just judge me. Y'all just judge me when I said I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to help my son move to Vegas from here, right? And look, I don't gamble because I work too hard for it, so I'm not going to go out there and get those folks my money. Shame on y'all for judging me. When it's time for the invitation, I want everybody to come down front, right? Oh, I forgot to tell you. I start every presentation by letting you know I'm what? Crazy, right? So y'all just, and then, how many of you have ever made a bucket list? Anybody got a bucket list? You know what? All you're doing when you make a bucket list is you're shortening your life, right? Because that bucket list is the stuff you want to do before you die. All right, so you got a bucket list. How many of you made set a goal for a new home?
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So the question is, are goals important?
Yeah.
Of course they are important. For our lives, you bet. You better set some goals for your life, right? Because they're important for our lives, right? Let me tell you my experience. When I was 35 years old, I was in sales. And I'm gonna tell you, I was tired. I've been in sales for 20 years probably. I was tired, Brother O. I was tired of carrying that bag. We used to carry briefcases. Looked all important and stuff. Had to have a suit on and a tie, even in the summer. Anyway, I got tired of that rat race. But I was carrying this bag, and I said, at 35, I'm tired. I don't want to be doing this at 40. So guess what I did? I put a 5-year plan together so that at 40, I'm not going to be carrying a bag. I said, at 40, I'm going to be a manager. You hear that? I'm going to have somebody else carrying the bag. Y'all get what I'm saying? And at 35, I set that goal. And let me tell you, my birthday came around June, and guess what? I was still in sales. But guess what? September, the Lord opened up the windows of heaven, and they came to me and said, we need a manager. I said, I know somebody. And I made manager at 40, so I met my goal. I set a 5-year goal that I was going to be a manager. And guess what? It happened. You see, goals are important.
They are
important, okay? I thought about that, and then I thought, wait. What about my eternal life? I get my stuff together here for this life down here, but I don't know. What's your name? Brittany. Hi, Brittany. You just smiling. Now, my wife is back there. Don't be smiling too hard, Brittany. But anyway, but no, Brittany. So we understand how important goals are for our physical lives and house and the travel and the career and all that stuff. Brittany, you better be thinking about eternal life as well. And how many of you have ever set a spiritual goal? Fewer hands that time. Did y'all see that? Fewer hands that time for the spiritual goals. Well, I thought about this whole thing about goals, my personal goals. And let me tell you what I discovered. These things shape my goals, my career, my attitudes, my desires, my needs, that convenience stuff. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we have copies of this presentation in the back. I forgot to tell you, Sister Margaret has them right next to her. And if the brothers want to pass those out, but everything that's in the presentation is up here, so you can get them as you go out. How about that? So we don't disrupt, right? Okay, so does this make sense? How many of you agree with this? Absolutely. Right, right. All of these things shape our goals, okay? And then, so I begin to realize that my goals, the question is, am I more focused on my goals or souls? Goals or souls? May I recommend a little twist to this slide? Goals are souls. Goals are souls. And if you're a child of God, then souls are supposed to be our goal. So the rest of this presentation, let's think about goals with R-A-R-E, rather than goals are souls. We okay with that? So let's look at this passage. Y'all got your Bibles or your electronic gizmos or whatever? John chapter 4. We're going to go verse by verse, and I'm going to try to get through this. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. I find it interesting that Jesus decides he's going to depart at that point. And you know why I believe Jesus decided to depart at that point? Because it is fruitless to be sitting there talking about who's baptized more than others. So Jesus says, I don't have time for this. Y'all got to hear this. Jesus says, I don't have time for this. Because what did Jesus say in that fourth chapter, verse 34? He says what? My meat is to do what?
The will
of him that, and to finish what?
His
work. I don't have time to sit here arguing with you about who's making more disciples. So Jesus leaves at that point. I wish that we would get the attitude that Jesus had and stop messing around with some of this stuff that we're talking about and arguing about, and let's focus on the meat Amen. That God gave us and to do his work. Y'all okay with that?
Amen.
Okay, so then he says, and he must needs go through Samaria. I don't know if you know it or not. How many of you ever went back and looked at the Greek and all any of these words? If you go back and look at the Greek for he must needs go, you'll see that it comes from the Greek word dei, D-E-I, which means, look at what that says, necessity established by the counsel and decree of God, especially by that purpose of his will, of his rather, which relates to the salvation of men by the intervention of Christ. Wow. Did y'all know that's what all that meant? He must needs go through Samaria. I know it sounds like is Jesus decided he needed to go through Samaria. But the truth be told, he was following God's purpose. Jesus, from day one, was set on God's purpose. I'm trying and I'm hoping that we will begin to develop that attitude that if we're going to meet our goals, we need to be focused on
Amen.
God's purpose. Okay? Then he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sukkar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. About the sixth hour is about noon. Jesus had been traveling, probably walking. And here it is noon, and Jesus is weary. Can I pause for station identification? Ain't it good to know that when Jesus came down here, he was just like me and you. Jesus got tired. Anybody ever been tired? Anybody ever been weary? Jesus was wearied with his journey, and so he sat on the well. See, we know he was weary because he sat on the well. There cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. She came there to do what? To draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Can I pause again for station identification? Do you see what the disciples' purpose was? Keep that thought. Somebody say, go shopping. You must shop a lot to go shopping, right? Okay, but it was more than just about shopping, all right? We're going to talk about that. Okay, so his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, I know y'all probably think that the woman was really trying to show how bad the Jews treat the Samaritans. But her attitude reeks in this passage because she's really talking about how they, the Samaritans, view the Jews. Y'all might have missed that. Okay, so she says, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me to drink because I'm a woman of Samaria? Y'all don't have anything to do with us. Y'all keep that attitude. Keep that thought, because we're talking about attitudes and how all these things shape our goals, right? Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Oh, my gosh. We could preach right there for days. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. Woo, he says, you would have asked him and he would have given thee living water. Watch how we put God in boxes based on our own limitations. The woman says unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus could have at this point said, woman, let me tell you something. I'm the one who made the water. And before I made I made this earth, and I dug that hole, and I put the water in that hole, and led your father to that hole, and provided for his need. And you asking me, am I greater than he? Let me pause again for station identification, because as we go about and we meet people, we have to check our attitude. There's a lot we could say. But is it going to be a benefit to that individual?
Come on now.
Watch how Jesus fixes this thing. Y'all still with me? Yeah. Y'all do know we're still talking about purposes and goals, right? Okay, look here. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. How many of y'all have tasted of that water? Wait. How many of you all? I'm sorry. How many of us have tasted of that water? But George, have you tasted of that water? That when you drink of it, you don't need no more? Never thirst? Look here. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Do you see? Once again, what is she focused on? Her physical. I want that water so I don't thirst again, so I don't have to come back to this well to drink. She's thinking about the physical. Now, before we judge her like y'all judge me about going to Vegas,
Let me just tell you, many of us have the same attitude that this woman had. We're all about us. We're all about our physical need. We're all about our desires. Amen. Only one or two agree with that. Okay, y'all gonna be like that? Jesus sees she ain't getting it. So Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. Oh, and I know y'all know all this part right here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had how many? Five. And the one you're with now ain't yours. Now, Jesus didn't say ain't. I said ain't. Jesus said the one you're with now is not yours. So he says, in that you said truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Pause. Did you see what she did? What'd she do? She changed the subject. She wanted to get that heat off of her. She said, let's get back to that water because I need to cool down a little bit. You wearing me out, Jesus. Got to beat the heat. She changed the subject. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, wait. How did she know or what gave her the impression that Jesus was a prophet? Because he knew her business. Can I pause for station identification? Every one of us in here, Jesus knows our business. He knows what our goals are, Brother Hobbs. He knows what our purposes are. Even if we're coming to church all the time, every time the doors open, Jesus still knows our goals and our purposes. So maybe we ought to be saying, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So she says, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Ooh, this gets good right here. She's beginning to get it, y'all. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Where did he say they're going to worship the Father? Did you notice he got the focus off of the place? He got the focus off of the place. I wish we could get the focus off of the place and focus on how to worship the Father. Because it ain't about the place. It's about how we worship. I know some of y'all right now are a little bit shaky on that statement I just made. Okay, but look here. Jesus says, where was I? What verse are we in now? 24. God is a spirit, right? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, my goodness. Okay. You know what? You know the best way to do a Bible study when people are involved? Put yourself in the place of one of those people. Now put yourself in the place of this woman, and the woman has been hearing about Jesus all this time. And Jesus tells her without doubt, I'm the man. Imagine now this woman. Let me pause for station identification, because guess what? Jesus is trying to show each and every one of us that he is the Messiah. Ooh, I could go somewhere. Let me just go and go somewhere. If we truly believe that Jesus was the Messiah, there's a whole lot of stuff we wouldn't be worried about. There are a whole lot of goals and objectives and plans and purposes and bucket lists and to-do list. There's a whole lot of stuff we wouldn't even have on those lists if we truly knew that Jesus is the Messiah. Have I challenged anybody's thinking yet?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Jesus says, I am him. And upon this came his disciples. Ooh, it gets good right here. Did y'all see what Satan did? See, the woman is finally coming close to understanding, Brother Ben, that this is Jesus. Satan at that point sends the disciples. That's how he works, y'all. Have y'all ever seen him do that in your life? Yeah, he does that. Just as you're getting close to understanding and getting closer to Jesus, he'll send somebody or some people to throw you off track. So here come the disciples. And they marvel that he talked with the woman. Pause for station identification. So here's a new group of people introduced into the narrative. And do you see their attitude? Yep. They're marveling that he's talking to this woman. Mm-hmm. What are they marveling about? That he's talking to this woman. First of all, he's talking to a woman. No, not a woman. He's talking to a woman. You know, when I was single, my aunt, God rest her soul, she was 100 when she passed away. Beautiful life. So anyway, she told me, she asked me, they call me James O. James O, are you still preaching? I said, yes, ma'am. I didn't say ma'am because we were not that formal in our, I said, yep. She says, well, and that was no disrespect. That was just the way our family was. She says, you can't be single preaching. Do y'all see that same attitude here? Jesus is talking to a woman. And not only a woman, say it again. What kind of woman? A Samaritan woman. Oh, Lord, y'all know the Jews didn't have anything to do with Samaritans. And he's talking. Do y'all see their attitude? Okay. Now, we already know this group is trouble because they had another goal in mind, and that was to do what? Go get some meat. So they went and got meat. When they come back, Jesus is talking to this woman, and now they're marveling that he's talking to this woman. Okay? And then he says, what seekest thou? They say, what seekest thou? Who are they talking to? The woman. Or why talkest thou with her? Now talking to Jesus. The woman then left her water pot. Wait. The woman left her water pot? She came to the well. She had a what? I know she had a water pot. But when she came to the well with that water pot, she had a what? A goal. She had a purpose. And what was that goal and purpose? To get some water. But because now she has met the Messiah, she says, I done already got a taste of this water. Uh-huh. I don't even need the water. I can't. Oh, that's strong right there, y'all. Did y'all miss that?
Yeah.
She says, she said, Jesus was right. He's got this water. I don't even need that water anymore. She left her water pot. That was her goal. That was her purpose. Left that water pot and did what? Went into the city, right? Now, she went into the city. And said to the men, I wonder why she went to the men. She had an influence with the men. She must have been a good-looking woman, bro. Brother George said, Brother Brad, that ain't even in there. But she went to the men of the city and said what? Come see a man. Which told me all things that ever I did. Wait. She says, I met a man who told me everything I've ever done. She's talking to the men when she says that. They undoubtedly know what she's done. Lord have mercy. But do you see that when you come into Jesus' presence, you got to confess. When you're in his presence, why are you trying to fake it and shake it and hide? Because he knows everything.
Amen.
So she says, might as well just let it out. Well, I don't know about that, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, so anyway, y'all get me off task here. Okay, look here. She says, that told me everything that I've done. Is not this the Christ? Then what? They went out of the city and came unto him. Wait. Let me go back to those two slides. Goals, or souls, are The new way of thinking is goals are, A-R-E, souls. One soul, goes and tells the men of the city, I have met Jesus. Those men go out to do what? See him. Let's see what else happens. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Now, okay. You remember they went to get meat. You know why they went to get meat? Because they were hungry. They were hungry. Do you think Jesus was hungry? Okay, so when you hear them say, Master, eat, they prayed him saying, Master, eat. One thought is they were concerned about his well-being. Can I ask us a question? How many of us are concerned about Jesus' well-being? How many of us care about Jesus? They said, Master, eat. What did Jesus say? I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Oh my goodness. Anybody in here ever been hungry and tired and an opportunity came up for you to do something good in the life of a person and you went ahead, somehow you found the strength to do it? That's that meat that Jesus is talking about. Jesus, I got meat to eat that you know not of. Right, okay, what else does he say? Therefore said the disciples one to another, you know how we are, we talk one to another. Hath any man brought him aught to eat? You know what that attitude is there, right? Because not only are the Jews not supposed to be talking to the Samaritans, they show not supposed to be eating with them. You might as well be eating a pork chop. They are surely not supposed to be. Hath any man brought him out to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat, look here. Whoops, went too far. My meat, watch this. The reason I went back is because I want to get that word right there again. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to do what?
Finish
his work. The reason I wanted us to focus on his in the beginning was because Jesus comes right back here and says, I need to finish his work. Not my work, not my goals, not my objectives, not my careabouts, not my desires. I've got to finish his work. And I want to challenge each and every one of us tonight to change our thinking, to get our minds off of our work and put it on his work. And not only put it on his work, because some of us will start, but we need to finish his work. That's a really good point.
Really good point.
So you gonna pay me for that?
Yeah, I'm gonna pay you for
okay.
that.
Okay, all right, look here. Checks in the mail. Checks in the mail. I ain't gonna hold my breath. 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Do you see that what Jesus is trying to get them to understand is your goal ought to be to do what? Win souls. Y'all are good talking about it's harvest time. Jesus says, open your eyes. The fields are white already. It's time to start harvesting. Okay? Skip all the way down to 39. Look here. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying. Isn't that so typical of men? Okay, yeah, we're going to take some credit. We're going to find a way to get the credit, right? He says, they say, now, we don't believe because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. This woman that we judged a while ago because she'd had 5 husbands, amen, and the one she with right now ain't hers. Amen. That one woman in her worst condition a sinner like you wouldn't believe is responsible for all these people coming to Christ. And they say, now we believe. Now we know that he is the Messiah. So let's look at this as I wrap this up. These observations. Jesus had one thing on his mind, and that was what? The Father's business. The woman had, did y'all see her attitude in the passages? Did you see her desires in the passage? Her desire, her concern about her physical needs. Give me that water so I have to come back to this well. It was all about her, right? And then her limited understanding. You can't get no water. You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. We try to put limitations on Jesus and on God. And then the disciples. They were focused on their desires. That's why they went to town, right? Their physical needs. They were hungry. They were tired. They were weary. They wanted some meat. And then their attitudes were shown when they came and saw Jesus talking to this woman. And y'all, I got to tell you, we have to check our attitudes when we go and try to start winning souls, when we start trying to do the Father's will. We need to check our attitude, because there are just some people we don't want to go talk to. People that go to Vegas, we don't want to talk to them.
Come on.
People that drink, people that do drugs, we don't want to talk to them. We need to check our attitude as we go. Homosexuals, lesbians, all of those people, we need to check our attitudes, because guess what? If anybody needs saving, they, like us, did y'all hear that? They, like us, need saving. We need to check our attitude. And then we got to stop trying to put God in a box. So I know some of y'all, when y'all heard we were talking about goals, y'all thought I was going to come and talk about how they need to be specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound, smart goals. Y'all heard that before, right? And guess what? That is absolutely true, even of your spiritual goals. I'm sorry, even of our spiritual goals. They need to be specific. They need to be measurable. They need to be achievable. Because if they're not achievable, you're going to What's going to happen is you are going to get to the point where you say, I can't do this. Does that make sense? Need to be realistic, and they need to be time-bound. So here's the decision dilemma. As it relates to our career, are we more focused on being a breadwinner or a soul winner? That's good right there, ain't it, bro, Ben? I saw your eyebrows go up then. I saw that. Yeah, yeah. Okay, our travels and destination. Are we focused on where we want to go or where he leads? That's good. His eyebrows didn't go up quite as far that time. But look here, the bucket list. Are there things you want to do or things we better do before we die? And then finally, our new home. Are we going to end up in Death Valley or are we going to end up uptown? And guess what? It all depends on how we set our goals. If we're focused on his purpose, a goal without a plan, it's just a wish. And let me show you. From day one, as a child, y'all remember this passage? Remember when Jesus was left in Jerusalem, right? His parents went to Jerusalem, and then they left, and they went 3 days journey, and they realized, oh, my gosh, that boy ain't with us. Ooh. The daddy was in trouble, wasn't he? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. But look at what Jesus said. When they finally found him, he says, wish ye not that I must be about what? From a child, that was his goal, that was his purpose. Look at what Psalms 37:3-7 says. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be, what? You mean to tell me I don't have to worry about what I'm eating? Because if I just do good, it says I will be fed? Really? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of, what? If I delight in the Lord's work, he says, his word says, he's going to give me the desires of my heart. Yep. Oh my gosh. We have set goals for ourselves. We have put plans together, and they haven't come to pass. And we have missed out on the desires of our heart. We don't have the power, in other words, amen, to supply the desires of our heart. Look what else he says. commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? That stuff you want. That's strong right there. Y'all might want to write that down. Oh, it's in the handout. Okay, look here. Look, it's in the handout. Okay, and then he says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Anybody ever said to you, there's something different about you? If you ain't heard that in a while, I got real quiet right there. Did y'all notice that? If you have not heard that in a while, you might need to check how you living. That's pretty funny to you, wasn't it? What's your name? Shaniqua. Hi, Shaniqua. Have you heard that in a while, Shaniqua? Oh, don't answer, Shaniqua. Don't. All right, look here. Okay. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. You know what? That's our problem. We have trouble waiting patiently for the Lord. Okay, look what it says. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Y'all seen folks that's prospering and they ain't set foot in a church? Don't it make you mad? It does me. Here I am trying to do all this good. That's my attitude. That's my problem. Y'all see that? Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Let me give you this parting thought. It's coming in slowly. Can I ask us to read that out loud when it finally comes in? What does that say? Most people don't aim too high and miss. They aim too low and hit. Is that me? Most people don't aim too high and miss. They aim too low and hit. That's profound right there, y'all. And some of us are going to miss heaven because we're not aiming high enough. We aim in too low, and we're going to hit. That's all I got. I got to extend the invitation, right? Is that right, Brother Ben? Got to extend the invitation. So let me just ask, how many of us have gleaned something from this message tonight that you can use in your everyday lives now? How many of you are going to do a better job setting goals for your spiritual well-being rather than your physical well-being? And just like you've had success in times past when you have set goals, try it in your spiritual life, and I promise you, you'll realize victory. And then one day you'll be able to hear him say, well done, as opposed to hearing him say, well. Because most people don't aim too high and miss. They aim too low and hit. And if you aim too low and hit, you're going to hear him say, well. But if you aim high, set your desires on him. Focus on his work and not be so focused on your work. Not be so focused on your tiredness, your weariness, your exhaustion. Jesus sat there on the well. He tried to show his. The whole reason this story was in this book in the first place was for us to understand that every chance we get, we ought to take advantage of the opportunity to try to help somebody to see Jesus. Amen. Notice I didn't say hold a Bible study. I said just help somebody to see Jesus. There may be somebody in this audience who does not know Jesus, who has not come to know Jesus. And if you don't, I hope that what you've seen here tonight, one thing you've heard, if you hadn't heard anything else, I want you to hear this. Jesus says, woman, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask him. And he will give you water, and you won't ever have to thirst again. Amen. If you're here tonight and you have not come to know Jesus, he has that power. Remember, that woman had a goal. She had that water pot, but as soon as she met Jesus, she left that water pot, forgot about her goals. The reason you don't want to come to Jesus is because you're probably more focused on your goals, stuff you want to do. That passage we looked at in Psalms says, if you'll just do that, he'll give it to you. Yep. It's even carried forth in the New Testament. Come on. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Wait, you hear that word his again?
Yep.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All that other stuff will be given to you. Then there's another passage of scripture in Matthew 16, 26. Y'all know what that says? You say, no, because you ain't put it up on the screen. Matthew 16, 26 says, what shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? You sitting here, somebody may be sitting here right now, focused on all that stuff in the world, and I can't give that stuff up. All that stuff in the world, I can't give that stuff up. But Jesus asked the question, what are you profited if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? He says, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There ain't nothing out there more valuable than your soul. And if you don't believe it, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep going where you're going. And one day, you're going to stand before God, and he's going to say, that man in that gray suit that nobody else had on the suit but him tried to tell you, you need to get it together. And you passed up that opportunity. If you're here, you've heard the word. Do you believe the word? Do you believe that Jesus has that water that he can give, that you will never thirst? Do you believe that? And if you believe that, and if you believe that that water is important, all you got to do is confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to repent of your sins, because you can't make it to heaven, right? You got a lot of stuff on your bucket list. You can't make it to heaven doing all that stuff on your bucket list and expect to be able to go to Uptown. So you got to repent of your sins. All that means is you've been going this way, you turn and go the other way. You come to Jesus, who can tell you everything you've ever done. By the way, did you notice? He told that woman everything she'd ever done, but he didn't judge her. Oh, my gosh. That's why she wanted some other people to come. You know why? Because she knows some other people been doing some stuff, too. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so repent, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go down in that watery grave of baptism, because what that's going to do is it's going to wash away your sins. I know some of you saying, I've been so bad. There was another occasion when this woman was caught in adultery. They brought that woman to Jesus. Interesting, they didn't bring the man. Because the law said both of them were supposed to be stoned to death. But anyway, you can see they weren't concerned about the woman. They weren't even concerned about the law. They just wanted to catch Jesus. But anyway, here's my point. They said, the law says we're supposed to stone her. What do you say? He didn't even pay attention to him. He just kept writing in the dirt. Finally, Jesus got tired of him. He says, okay, whichever one of you is without sin, cast the first stone. Mm-hmm. One by one, they started leaving. And you know, the Holy Spirit helped us to know, they started leaving from the oldest to the youngest, because the oldest had most sin. So they said, wait a minute, let me get on out of here. Okay, but here's my point. But here's my point. Here's my point. Don't lose this point. Jesus asked the woman, where are your accusers? She says, there are none. Jesus says, neither do I condemn thee. You may be sitting here saying, I've been so bad. Jesus can't use me. God can't use me. But Jesus showed us in that passage, I don't care what you've done. If you'll just go and sin no more, I can use you. Just like I used that woman at the well. Amen. If you're here tonight and you haven't been living up to your potential, you haven't been setting goals, you haven't been doing the Father's will, you haven't been partaking of that meat that is from the Father, you can come and you can get that right tonight. If you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you haven't come to Jesus, but now you know Jesus has something to offer you that will make you good to go, you can come while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restore. It is weary, please help me, dear Lord. need of more strength from your word. My soul.